Good morning, church. My name is Genevieve, and I am a member of our Building Blocks ministry team. And what we are is we are the children's ministry of our church. And so the biggest thing that we do is we teach our Sunday school lessons to all of our children. And it's always really fun, as you could tell from their dancing. But for us today, I'm just going to read our passage. It comes from Matthew chapter 21. And it's going to be verses 1 through 17. So I'll go ahead and read that for us. The triumphal entry, verse 1. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and brought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you make it a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. And they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise.'" And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there.
Good morning. I gotta find the verse that Jesus says, "Hey-o." So the kids are not dismissed this morning, because today is our family worship Sunday. We decided to do this every once in a while for a couple reasons. We want to gather together as a family of God, from our youngest to the oldest, and to worship together, which means service is going to look a little bit different, right? Like, you might hear different sounds that you don't normally hear and so forth, but that's okay. I think God delights in all of those things. Right? Really, one of the convictions that we have as a church is to be a church for all people from all nations. And I know that when people think about our church, a lot of times they associate our church with college students, which is great, because really our heart is to continue to invest into our students, that we want to disciple you, that we want to encourage you, and we want to really invest into that next generation of Christ disciples. And that's never going to change, but we're not just a church for college students. But we're a church, meaning that God has planted us here in the city of Austin to love our city and to be a light for our neighbors. And some of our neighbors, yes, are students, but some of our neighbors are also working adults and families who come from different places and who come from different backgrounds. I think about the early church in the city of Antioch, how when the church is described, it describes people from all different socioeconomic levels, all different geographic locations coming together, from the young to the old, to worship together. And they are unified, not because of common interests. They're unified not because their services are really cool, but they're unified because of Christ, under the banner of Christ. And so when we worship together like this, it reminds us that we are the body of Christ, from the youngest to the oldest. And what unifies us is the love and the purpose of God. And when we also worship together like this, it reminds us that our families are strengthened as we worship, that the foundation of our families has to be our worship of God. And so it's really an investment that we are making into our existing families, to help our families to continue to establish that foundation and to be reminded that we need to worship together. And also, it's an investment that we are making into future families. Many of you who are single, you represent the future families to come, that when you establish your family of your own, that you want to strive to be a family who will worship together. So we thought, what greater way to prepare for this upcoming Holy Week than to gather together as a family of God to worship on Palm Sunday. So as you think about Palm Sunday, as you think about the passage that Genevieve read for us, the one thing, the one lesson that I want to give to all of us simply is this, that Jesus is the good King that we need. That Jesus is the good King that we need. Right? Today is Palm Sunday, so we passed out palms. Can I see your palms that you guys received? Right? And when Jesus was entering into the town, everyone was waving their palms like this. And the reason why it's called Palm Sunday is because, just like in the video that we saw, as he was riding into town on a donkey, that people were laying down their cloaks and laying down their palm leaves before Jesus. It's kind of like, you know, like when you see fancy events and people, important people, are walking down on what? Red carpet. It signifies that they're really important. They're really fancy. And it's the same thing as people were putting down their cloaks and palm leaves, that they were being reminded that Jesus is the King that comes to us. And so there's two things that Matthew teaches us from today's passage. First of all, Matthew teaches us that Jesus is a good King who reminds us of God's promise, that God speaks his promise into our lives. But not only that, but Matthew also teaches us that Jesus is a good King who restores to us God's purpose, who restores to us God's purpose. And so let's talk about that, that Jesus reminds us of God's promise. And we see this in verses 1 through 10. So we have this scene where it's the Passover feast, a major holiday, which means Jews from all different parts of the world are gathering together. And scholars think that during the normal season, there's roughly around 30,000 people that live in Jerusalem. But during the Passover feast, there's roughly around 180,000 people that visit. So imagine 150,000 people coming into the city of Jerusalem. And as all these people are making their way into the city, they see Jesus. And Jesus is riding on a donkey with his disciples walking by his side. And as he is heading towards Jerusalem, many of the people would have recognized, hey, this is what God said about his King who is to come. In Zechariah 9:9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your King is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, a foal of a donkey." And so Jesus knows that his action is going to cause people to say, hey, Jesus is really the King that comes to us from God to save us. So it's Jesus no longer hiding his identity before the people. It's Jesus no longer hiding his message. But he knows exactly what he's doing, and as he's riding on this donkey, he's saying very loudly to the people of Jerusalem, here I am. I am the King, right? If you know, you know. I am the King who comes to save you. And so think about the role of a king. What is the role of a king? To live in a castle? To ride in expensive cars? To have people that wait on them and serve them? Maybe. But ultimately, biblically speaking, the role of a king is what? To save God's people from their enemies, to protect them and to guide them so that the people can experience peace and prosperity. And that's exactly what the people needed during this time when they were under siege by the Romans. But Jesus reminds us that even though he is the king that was sent by God, he's not necessarily the king that people were looking for. Because people were saying, hey, God, we need protection from the Romans. But ultimately what God was saying was, you need protection from what? Sin and death. That I've come to deliver you not just from hostile forces, but ultimately I have come to deliver you from your greatest enemy, which is sin and death. That Jesus comes to fulfill God's promise to save his people. That Jesus comes to fulfill God's promise to save his people. But not only that, but Matthew also reminds us that Jesus came to restore in his people God's purpose. And we see this in verses 11 through 17, right? When Jesus is entering into the city of Jerusalem, he goes straight to where? The temple. Do you know what the temple is? The temple is like our church. Except when he goes to the temple, he's actually going to the very outer parts of the temple, and that's the place where all the Gentiles or non-Jewish people would come to worship God. And this is what we're told in verse 12. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the temple of the money changers and the seat of those who sold pigeons. And so think about this. This was the place where all the non-Jewish people were supposed to go to worship God, but instead of that being a place of worship, it was turning into a place of business, right? And so Jesus is basically shooing all the people away. What's he doing? He's reminding the people of God that this should be a place of worship. That the purpose that God has for his people is not only to worship for themselves, but to invite others to worship God, to be that salt and light. And so what Jesus is doing is he is restoring that purpose and reminding them, hey, you shouldn't be selling animals here in this place. Because even though it might be more convenient for you, right? When the people of God, when they came to the temple, or when they came to church, one of the things that they had to do was they had to bring an animal to offer up as a sacrifice. And so it was really convenient because you don't have to drag that cow all the way from home, right? You don't have to try to catch that pigeon. But you just show up, you give them some money, they give you the animal, you enter into the temple, and then bam, you're done. But Jesus reminds us that, no, this place, it's not about convenience. But it's about understanding my heart for you, and it's about understanding my heart for the others. And not only does he restore that purpose of worship, but look what happens in verse 14. And the blind and lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. So when you read that statement, it doesn't really seem like it should be that extraordinary, because if temple was the place where people would go to encounter God's presence, you would expect what? In God's presence that they experience healing. But this was actually a very remarkable event, because up to this point, that was not what was happening in the temple. What was happening in the temple was what? People just going through the religious routines. Jesus is reminding the people that church is not about the business of religion, but the power of God to heal and to make whole that which is broken. Think about that. If we truly understood the heart of God, how it would change our purpose, our attitude of entering into this place, not because somehow this place is sacred, but the presence of God is here, and God is not about the business of religion. He doesn't give a 2 cents. I think that's the right phrase, right? Giving us 2 cents. He doesn't care. Sorry if I butcher that. He doesn't care about whether you are so faithful in expressing your religiosity. What he wants to do is to heal in you that which is broken. And I think every single one of us, from the oldest to the youngest, would acknowledge that there's brokenness in us. And so God drives out the money changers and he heals the sick. And God declares that I have come to restore God's purpose for you. And I want to remind you that God has called you into this relationship to worship you. And that worship should spill out into the lives of others. And I want to remind you that God's desire for you is to make you whole. And Matthew reminds us that Jesus is the good king that points us to God's promises and that restores God's purpose for us. And so what's the one thing? Jesus is who? The good king that we need, right? Let's say that all together. Jesus is the good king that we need. Jesus is the good king that we need. And so how do we make this personal? So this is where I'm going to invite our families. If you guys are together, then maybe to sit together. For those of us who yet are, who are not necessarily in that life stage of having families, it's all right. You're surrounded by your spiritual family members, right? And so as we close out our time together, I want to invite us to maybe to get into like groups of two or three, okay? And then within these groups, I want you to answer these two questions. So first of all, how has God been good to you and your family? So as we think about not only Palm Sunday, but even Easter that is to come, it's a reminder that Jesus is the good king. And if Jesus is the good king, then how has Jesus been good to us, for our families? And maybe for those of us who are a little bit older, to really think about in this season of Jesus revealing his purpose, what promise of God is Jesus wanting to remind you of? Maybe in many ways you can identify with where the people of God are, feeling this oppression in their lives, right? There's this sense of desperation. They're questioning, God, where are you in the midst of what is going on in our nation? Maybe some of you are asking, God, where are you in the midst of what is going on in my life, in our family? And God is saying, no, no, I am here. And I am working to fulfill my promise in you. And maybe what purpose of God does God need to remind you of? That it's not just about doing your duty, but it's about the purpose of delight. And then secondly, who are the people in your life that you want to introduce to Jesus? Because ultimately this passage, it shows us that Jesus is out there. He's not hiding the reality of who he is. But he's saying, hey, look at me. I am the king that you need. And so when we think about sharing the love of Christ, it's not just our thoughts of who Jesus is, but it's actually introducing that person so that they can encounter the reality of who Christ is. And next Sunday during Easter, what a wonderful opportunity that we have to invite people to experience for themselves Jesus, our good King. And so who are some of the people in your life that maybe God is pressing on your heart? Hey, 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 introduce me to them. Don't hide me away, but introduce me to them, right? So can I invite us to do that? I don't know, for the next 3 minutes or so, if we can get into either with our families or our spiritual family, groups of two or three. Can you just simply ask, how has God been good to you? Who are the people that Jesus is really burdening you to introduce him to? And then as we're passing out note cards, this is what I want us to do. As you talk about, these are some of the people that maybe God is calling me to introduce Jesus to, I want you to simply write down not only their names on that note card, but maybe like one prayer that we can lift up for them, okay? So it's just one card for your entire group, not one card per individual. And so just that one card, if you have a group of two, then you're going to write down maybe two names and then two specific prayer requests, because at the end, we want to bring this card before Jesus. And just like the people who laid down the palm at the feet of Jesus in recognition of his kingship, we want to bring these people to Jesus and lay them down at his feet to say, God, you reign and you rule over their lives. Okay? So can we do that? Can we get into our families or maybe even our spiritual families, share those two questions, write down the names of friends that we want to introduce Jesus to, and then after you do that, I want you to pray for them. And then after you pray for them, I want you to slowly make your way up here. So you'll notice there's a basket here, and I want you to just simply drop off that card here at this basket. It can only be one person. Your entire group doesn't have to come. As a symbol of saying, God, even as the people lay down their palms before you to recognize your lordship, that we want to do the same. We want to bring our friends, our families, our loved ones before you to say, Jesus, we pray that they will know you as their king. So can we do that for the next 3 minutes or so? And then after that, we'll go ahead and close out our time together in closing worship. So let's do that together.